107 FM, Lafayette, Lake Charles.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to The Exchange. This is Cheryl Castile. My guests in the studio today, we have a couple of talented women and a familiar face here at KRVS and a very talented man that are all here to talk about the theater production of the Dixie Swim Club, which is opening this Thursday night at the Delta Grand Theater in downtown Opelousas. Our guest today, which a lot of folks out there know, is playwright and director and sometimes actor when people can coerce him onto stage, Cody Daigle. So hasn't been that long since you were on. Welcome back, Cody.
Thank you.
For a whole different reason. My other two guests, it's going to be fun talking with them because it is a first for them. Very talented women. We have Dr. Lana Matoya, which we are going to get her out of her physician mode today. She is a physician in the Opelousas area. So welcome, Lana.
Thank
you. It's great to have you here.
Thanks, Lana.
And then we have Candace Miles, who is the Director of Human Resources for St. Landry Parish Government. So welcome, Candace.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's good to have you here today. And actually, Candace and I work together every day, so this is kind of fun to have a different interaction than we normally do at work. So it's great to have you all here. Cody, before we get into talking about these two folks and their involvement now in theater and their relationship with you on this production, can you tell people a little bit about what this story is about? I know it is written by Jesse Jones, Nicholas Hope, and Jamie Wooten.
Sure. The Dixie Swim Club is a play about five women who were all part of the Pemberton College swim team when they were in college. And they've maintained their friendship throughout past college and into their lives. And they meet every summer at this beach house to reconnect and talk about what's going on in their lives and their love lives and other things. And so we see them over the course of like 35 years, I think it's the sort of the time frame. We see their relationship grow over the course of 35 years, over four scenes at the beach house when they meet once a year.
And, you know, what's interesting about this production for you, because you have directed a lot in your life, is your cast, it's all folks who are doing theater on stage for the first time.
Yes, five first-timers.
And how did that just happen, or was there a plan a bit to that?
That is something that Tammy Lamonte, who's the executive director of the Delta Grand, wanted to do this show. And it was her idea to try – she wanted to be in a show, and it would be her first time on stage. And she wanted to find four other women who would also have that experience just to have a fun time working on a fun little breezy show. And everyone do theater for the first time, act for the first time. I thought that was kind of a fun thing to tackle because it's been a very long time since I've worked with adults who have never done theater before.
Yeah. So I'm curious for you as the director, how do the dynamics change with how you approach the people that are in the show, how you approach the direction for day-to-day and each step of the process?
I sort of direct the show the same way that I would direct anything else.
Okay.
And without sounding condescending, it's a little like directing kids who are coming at theater for the first time without a lot of experience. Part of your job is to direct the show and give them the tools that they need to execute the story. But you're also making them feel comfortable or doing your best to make them feel comfortable in this new world that they're unfamiliar with and to guide them through the natural things that you become afraid of if you've never done it before. You know, don't worry about that. Just this is not a thing to worry about. Worry about this instead. The things that you're feeling right now, those terrors you're feeling, that's completely natural. Everybody feels it. And guiding them through what's a scary process for someone who's never done it.
Yeah, and then, you know, I also thought, too, of, you know, sometimes in a cast you have a mix where there's people who are relatively new and then people who have done a lot of theater and there's also those people then on stage who have done theater before that you can kind of lean on and rely on a little bit to show some of the way, you know, whether or not it's how you want them to show it, you know. But that's a different thing, not having that to rely on.
But one thing about this particular experience, the five actresses who are in this show are – so perfectly cast in their individual roles, there was never a moment that we had to sort of explain how to live this person's life. It was mostly just encouraging, use yourself. Just continue. How would you do this? This role is perfectly suited for you.
Very cool.
Just dig into that. And we never really had a lot of hand-holding in terms of finding the relationships or the characters. They sort of did that naturally. And that was great.
How did... You know, we have Candace here and Lana Hout and the rest of the group, who I do want to mention is Tammy Lamonte, Lauren Moray, Eileen Duplichan. Was it an audition process, or were there people that you had met or other people, hey, take a look at this woman?
No, Tammy brought everyone together for – it was like one random afternoon, and we sat with the script. And I met everyone, and I assigned roles for the first scene. Then we switched roles for the second scene. And as we would read, I would slide people into the roles that they should be in. And by the time we got to the end of the show was cast, and that was it. That was how we did it.
Very interesting. So she kind of had a sense of who would be an interesting group to get on stage.
Although none of them thought they would be who they ended up being.
Interesting.
I mean, I think that's mostly true. Everybody kind of thought they might land someplace else, but I said no. Yeah. And by the end, everyone fell into a role that really sounded great on them.
Yeah. And now, Lana, you – oh, go ahead.
No, I
– oh, I'm sorry. Okay. And it's Lana.
Mm-hmm.
You're not new to theater in that your children have been involved in theater. So walking into a theater – because sometimes that's intimidating for people, you know, just when you walk into a theater for the first time. But you're not new to it in terms of being around that space.
Right, right. My children have been fortunate enough to be involved with the Delta Grand for probably 3 years now, ever since it started. And that has been truly an amazing thing. So as a parent, you know, I was used to going in. I look forward to performances. But one day Tammy just kind of pulled me on the side and said, hey, you know, I'm kind of thinking about something. And I was like, oh, okay, sure, you know. little did I know she was serious about it, and she said, well, I'd like you to read for it. So I kind of like, okay, but, you know, my children, they love it, and they're resilient, and they're like, oh, Mom, just go ahead and do it. So
yeah, so that was your cheering crowd there, was the kids.
Yes, and sometimes they laugh at me, but, you know, they've been my biggest cheerleaders.
Yeah.
So that's kind of how I got involved. You know, I always enjoyed the arts and the theater, but I was always sitting in the audience.
See, you know, I love that. So many times when we talk about families, you know, the conversation is about what the kids learn from the parents. And I love situations like this where it's the adults learning from the kids.
Absolutely.
You know, and it's the kids who inspired them. Are there cheerleaders? Are there, you know? That's very cool. So that's... Candace, I know you've been around the theater administratively, you know?
Yes.
Had you had any involvement with family members or anybody being involved in theater?
Nope, I'm the first.
So you're the first one. So Tammy approached you the same way?
Same way. She just asked me. And like Lana said, at first I thought it was a joke, but then she was serious. So I kind of just did it out of my comfort zone, but...
Yeah.
Trying it out.
What did you have to do to get yourself over that hump of, oh, this isn't my comfort zone? I mean, was there some talking that you had to do to yourself?
Something like that. But I guess, I mean, all the ladies that we're doing the show with, they're all very ladies that I'm comfortable with. So, like, we all just, like, clicked immediately. So that helped out a lot. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
What do your kids think of Mom doing theater?
I don't think they really know anything yet until they actually see me on the stage. But I've been telling them I'm practicing for a show, and they'll be like, well, when is it coming up? They're waiting for it. So
yeah.
I think they'll be excited once they see me on stage.
Yeah, and this is – it's a great family production.
Yes.
I mean, there's certain age of kids that might not understand.
Yeah, I think any of the sort of like more like girl talk things are over kids' heads anyway.
Sure.
They'll just mostly enjoy the fun and the sort of the fun group dynamic.
Yeah.
Most of all. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm curious, and Lana, we'll go back to you. What stood out for you in this that you really learned about yourself through this experience? And it might be more than one thing.
Wow. I learned that it's okay to get out of my comfort zone. I also learned, too, that you learn a lot about yourself. You may think you may or may not be able to do something, but when it comes in front of you and someone gives you some direction, it's like, oh, yeah, I can do this. So there's a lot of self-learning in this and you know, confidence building. And also it's okay to laugh at yourself. It's okay to not be on target and say, well, you know, I'm just not getting it, and just laugh.
Yeah.
And the comfort in this is that the other people are laughing with you. They're not laughing at you.
That's right.
Because there was a tremendous bonding and sisterhood that developed as a result of this.
You know, and I've always found it interesting with theater, too, when you talk about that bonding when a production is going on. I mean, this is a group that comes together that has to work through some of those feelings and emotions that you just talked about and some of the insecurities. But you're also – it's this whole group of people having to dress, undress in front of each other, having to – oh, God, I forgot that line. Help me out. You have to ask for help. But there's a lot of intimacy that happens in this art form that doesn't always happen in other, you know, art forms. And I'm always curious the effect. Like, I think that's fabulous what you talked about with that sense of bonding, you know, that happened between you. Because you see that happen with a lot of theater productions with the cast. I'm curious, Cody, is there something different or unique that you see when it's a cast completely of women versus mixed, you know, men and women, or we're all men?
I don't know if this is necessarily gender specific, but I've had the most fun working with them. It's a lovely, generous, kind environment all the time. They support each other unconditionally, and it's fun to be part of that group. And I get to come in and kind of watch them grapple with this show all together. So I don't know if that's necessarily like a women specific thing. But I know for this group, these five women generally care a lot about each other, and they're very connected, and that's a great energy to walk into.
Yeah. Did you all know each other, or was it Tammy was kind of the link?
I think she was the link.
Yeah, I think so. I may have known one other person outside of Tammy, and she just kind of brought us together, and we just started getting to know each other and clicked and bonding, and there were times we should have been reading our lines, and we were just laughing and talking about everything. And I think that was necessary.
Yeah, that's right.
Because that way we did not have to pretend to like each other and pretend to be friends when it really got time for us to learn our lines.
Yeah, because that's a really good point, because these characters have been together for years, you know. Candace, what comes to mind for you when you think about, boy, what I learned through this experience, or what I'm still learning through this experience?
The same thing, getting out of my comfort zone. Like, I'm the type of person that just public speak, I can't do it. I get nervous. And I think this helped out a lot, because, like, yesterday when we practiced, I felt a lot more comfortable than I ever been. So I think that helps a lot.
Yeah. And you know, it's interesting, too, and I don't know if you've noticed in your life outside of those rehearsals now, has any of that toppled over from those boundaries of being at the theater rehearsing into just life, some of the things you've learned? Have you noticed? You're nodding your head, Lana.
Absolutely. It's amazing how theater and life reflect one another. And I found myself some of the lines, and sometimes we may think some of the lines were corny, but I found myself saying, oh, this is a line that I'd say in this situation in life, or it may not have even been my line. And you laugh. It's a personal joke within.
Yeah.
And the other thing that I thought was interesting, our characters. we may be one particular character on the scene, but I found myself in all of the different characters. And I thought that was unique, how, oh my, I'm having a Cherie moment, or, oh, right now I feel like Bernadette. So you find yourself in different characters, even though you're this one particular character.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
It's just amazing how beautifully something art-like as theater is truly just like life.
That's right. And, you know, Cody, I guess I would like to hear you speak to some of that in terms of the art of theater and the profession, you know. But, you know, I think theater, I always remember you talking about, you know, theater encompasses so much of a lot of what Lana just spoke to, but also all the other arts. You know, it's the one art that encompasses really all of the arts, depending on what kind of show it is. But, you know, I think theater in terms of that learning experience in life, you know, what it teaches outside of that actual production.
Well, I think, you know, not to get pretentiously sounding, but I sort of think theater...
We'll calm you down if you get a little...
I sort of think theater at its best, any theater at its best, is a theater that depicts life in such a way that it makes our experience of life more understandable or easier or more organized. Like, it kind of organizes the chaos that life is normally and gives it meaning and gives us a place to sort of interpret what our life experience is like. And I'll admit, this show, I wasn't a giant fan of it when I first read it. I was directing the show because Tammy wanted to, and I wanted to help her out, and this was going to be fun to work with new actors. But even I'm finding there are things in the show that I really connect to and I think are kind of lovely. It says these lovely things about what it takes to maintain friendships over a very long period of time. And really, what does it mean to love your friends? What will you do to love your friends through anything that happens to them? And at the end of the show is beautiful and poignant and kind of like really touching, and it's very moving. I think that's what theater should do. You should come and watch the show about five people that are not real, but leave it feeling those places where the show intersects with your experience and you go, oh, yeah, life is like that. That's what life is.
And you know, too, I think that's such a great way to give reason to people who have never gone to theater before or attended a production to go, you know. I know it's something that we talk a lot about on this show, where there's a number of folks out there who just have never ventured into, you know, a theater and to see a show. And then you talk to people who do that for the first time. And when it really clicks with those folks, it's what you just talked about. You know, it could have been the best production or whatever, you know, the greatest cast. But generally what brings people back is there's some kind of personal connection that it made.
Well, I think people think of theater – people who have never been to the theater think of it as some sort of elite art form for very wealthy people in fancy clothes.
No, that's true.
That's what they think theater is. And really, it's not. It's this kind of primal community experience. You just sit in the dark with people and laugh and cry about a story. And that's all it is at its base. And it's a lovely, lovely thing.
The difference that I'm curious if there's a difference that you see, Cody, in adults, what they take out of theater like these two are for their first time, in terms of how they internalize that or how it affects a personal part of their life versus – folks that started acting when they were kids, you know, and what they then are able to take out of it as adults, if there's a difference you see in what they take on personally from.
Well, for me, one of the cool things about this experience has been reconnecting with what I was like when I first came to theater. Because I'm watching them sort of have the nervousness about doing this for the first time, and their fears and trepidations and their concerns, but also the excitement when they get something and they're feeling it happening. Like, I remember what that was like. That happened to me a long time ago. And for me doing theater now, it's kind of like, all right, let's get in and do this show. This is the way we do it. We get in, we do it, we go home, we're done. But this has been a reminder of what theater's like when you first find it, and it's this lovely new thing that opens parts of you that you didn't think could be opened and connects you to people in a way you've never been connected to people before. And yeah, it's been a lot of fun. It's my big takeaway from the show.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. Don't forget that theater is this when you're doing the next thing.
Which I think what you spoke to, Lana, is that bonding period that you guys had when you had that fun that he talked about adds into that being fun. Specific things that the two of you remember in this process, and your process is far from over because you haven't opened yet, which is another whole stage, you know, in this process. But in learning and getting to the show to the point it's at now, are there some specific things that Cody has been able to offer you or incidences that you remember that, God, I don't know if I could figure that out or get through that part, and Cody kind of opened your eyes to something you could do or something that made you understand better who your character was? Anything come to mind with that?
Well, I'll say this. You know, it's one thing to read lines and memorize lines. I guess I was amazed because for me, not having any background in theater or drama, you start to learn terms. You are, you know, educated in this whole process. So it's not just reading lines. You're being, you're learning about it. And then when we're playing it out and he's directing, he's like, stop. You know, he's given his art form and telling us what it's going to look like to the audience and how he envisions it. And I'm like, wow, because you're taking it from off of the pages. And you're creating something, and it's playing out. So that's one of the things. I mean, all of this is coming together from something in black and white to, you know, and it goes back to the people who conceived it. So it just to put the whole picture together and then have someone say, I think if you stand here, or I think if you do this, this will make this a little bit more. And I'm like, wow.
That's interesting, isn't it? When I like that piece that you just said, because there are those little things that somebody will tell you to do, and sometimes you initially think, well, how can that make a difference? And wow, you know, is it a much more effective? Huh, very cool. Candace, anything come to mind for you when you think about going through this process and maybe some direction that Cody gave you that helped you get into the character better, that allowed you to feel more comfortable in what you were doing?
Just to be myself.
So that, I mean, that was the main message.
Talk regular, yeah.
Yeah, see, that's interesting versus a character where you had to really become something completely different. Did you notice that with Candace? That it's like, okay, I just have to keep gearing.
Well, and all of them sort of. I think I had that moment with everybody. Mm-hmm. I think if you've never acted before, there's a feeling like you have to put something on. You have to put a person on top of you, when really the best thing to do is let it come from you. Like if you're cast well, and which they all are, you just let yourself live through the words that you're told you have to say, and that's the most effective thing. And when they do it, it's really fantastic. Mm-hmm. You really believe it. I believe these women. I believe these five women when they let the most of themselves out.
And the other thing I'm curious about is how the process of learning the lines or just learning to be a part of this production, similarities to your other professions that you do. You know, I thought of what made me think of it, Lana, is when you were talking about there's all these new terms, you know, that, I mean, whether it's, you know, stage right or, you know, whatever that is, that you have to learn what that whole process is about how a production comes together. Now, you certainly had to learn a lot of terminology and what you do. I mean, you know, there's – can you relate some things that you're doing in this that it's like, oh, no, come on. I really had to learn things to become, you know, who I am as a physician in that part of my life.
You know, I guess I'll look at it when I'm listening. I'm like, okay, I look at life as a continuous learning process. I enjoy learning. Huh. And okay, so now I know some new terminology, and, you know, sometimes I don't quite get it, and I'm like, okay, show me which side I'm supposed to look out again, and I'm okay with that because that's what learning is all about. It's about questioning, and it's about eventually getting it. So the terminology part. It's just fun. It's like, oh, something new to add to my repertoire now.
Fabulous. Yeah. Candace, because the job you do, I think of you in your day job as a stage manager. You know, I mean, when you think about the direction that you have to give to people, you have to keep records in order. You've got to make sure that this is in for this person at this time, that this person's being, you know. When you think of your day-to-day life in that job, is there anything that relates to you for what you're doing with this production, what you're learning?
I think my character is a little bit more quiet. I am a quiet person, but as far as I'm very shy, like to actually just even talk right now, I'm like, I'm nervous. But
you're doing it.
Yeah, I guess I am. But yeah. It's just different. Just being on stage and then talking to somebody in real life, like sitting at my desk, it just feels different. But I mean, it helps out a lot too. I can tell you that though, because I'm not, like I said, I'm not a good public speaker. I have to speak in front of employees and it's hard, but this makes it easier.
And you know what I always wonder, like with somebody, because I have personal experience with you, and I think sometimes, you know, what you see for a lot of people, and I know Cody has seen this a lot, is that your perception of what you're good at and what you're not good at isn't always the same as what my perception is of how you do that thing, or Cody's perception is of how you do that thing. And that's what I see sometimes with theater. When you take a chance in life, it allows you to change what your perception is of you, because I think there are other people who would think that you get up in front of everybody just fine and deliver whatever message that, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
I mean, I think that's a cool thing about theater, is that when, or any, not just theater, but anytime you take a chance and you do something new to challenge yourself, it helps you to change your perception.
And one thing that I found, what they're all unaware, all five of them are unaware of, there are actors in them. I watch actors. There are actors in all of them. You know, should they abandon their jobs and go to New York to audition? No, not every actor should do that. But there are actors in each of them. I watch them and they'll do moments, and it's authentic and rooted in something true, and I believe it, and it's lovely.
Yeah.
That's an actor.
Yeah.
There are actors in all of them. They don't think so, always.
But, you know, think of your day-to-day life, how many times you have to act. You know, you have a disgruntled employee, or you have, you know, maybe a patient that you're working with that all of a sudden you've got to put on a whole different face and deliver a message that you didn't really want to deliver right at that. I mean, that's – how much more acting is that, you know? I mean, I think we all do that every day. We sometimes have to act in a way that isn't what's there right at that moment, you know? That's very cool. We are going to take a short break. And because this – we're going to come back and talk more about the show and the different characters. But because this is called the Dixie Swim Club, and if you're just joining us, we are talking with director Cody Daigle and two new actresses, Lana Metoya and Candace Miles, who will be in the production of the Dixie Swim Club that is opening this Thursday at the Delta Grand in Opelousas. We are going to listen to a song that has to do with the beach and being out in the sun. And this is Sheryl Crow's Soak Up the Sun.
soak up the sun.
That was Sheryl Crow and Soak Up the Sun. And if you're just joining us, this is The Exchange on KRVS 88.7 FM or on the web at krvs.org. As we always remind people, please check out the website, a great place to get the podcast. You can go back and listen to your favorite show if you want to hear it again, or if you had to miss it because of work or something you were doing. You can go up to programs, and they're all listed there. We are a public service of the University of Louisiana at Lafayette, and thanks, tip of the hat, to everybody who continues to support us. We make it very easy on the website with the donate button, or you can always call the station too. So thank you to everybody who continues to help us make sure that we get all these programs on the air. My guests in the studio today are all involved with the theater production, the Dixie Swim Club, which opens this Thursday at the Delta Grand Theater and the historic Delta Grand Theater. It's a beautiful, beautiful spot in downtown Opelousas. And the Dixie Swim Club was written by Jesse Jones, Nicholas Hope, and Jamie Wooten, and it opens this Thursday, runs Thursday, Friday, Saturday, 7:30 start time. And this week there will be a Sunday matinee at 2 o'clock. It also runs next weekend without the Sunday matinee. So the second weekend, it runs Thursday, Friday, Saturday. You can contact the Delta Grand at 407-1806. Or you can also go to their website to find out more about the production and tickets. And that's the deltagrandtheater.com. Remember, theater, T-H-E-A-T-R-E. .com. My guests in the studio today, gentleman who's directing the show, Cody Daigle, and two of the actresses, Lana Metoyer and Candace Miles. And so we've been talking about Candace and Lana's first jump into theater and acting on stage, although, as we talked about, everybody acts in their day-to-day life. Let's talk a bit about the story. It's about five women who get together. They were on a swim team together, and they continue to come together. And it's been 35 years that the play runs, right?
Yes.
In their lives. You are playing who, Lana?
I am playing Lexi Richards.
And what's she all about?
Whoa. Lexi is a fun character. She is somewhat vain, somewhat frivolous, bouncy, and maybe has a little trouble holding on to husbands.
Yeah.
She's been married several times. But she's good-hearted. She's good at heart. But she's kind of, you know, has her little bouts with her relationships and her flirtatiousness. But
yeah,
she's a fun character to play.
Was there anybody else in the cast in terms of the characters that you maybe initially wanted to play?
Really, the day that I read, I had not really looked at all the other characters. I kind of thought I may have been one of the other characters, perhaps. But, you know, they said, oh, no, you're Lexi. I'm like, okay. Which part of her I can identify with. The other part, I'm not going to tell you I was quite like Lexi. I might, you know, get in trouble and my husband might question that.
Yeah, yeah. What part was similar?
I think she's good-hearted. I think she cares, and she's very devoted to her friends.
Yeah.
She really enjoys the friendship, the sisterhood, that part of it. You know, she evidently likes fashion and clothes and likes to have fun.
Yeah.
So that part I can somewhat identify with.
Yeah. And you are playing who, Candace?
Jerry Neal McFeely.
What's her last name?
McFeely.
McFeely. And what's her deal in life? What is she all about?
She's the former nun.
Really?
Yes. She's the quiet, the one that kind of gets everybody together whenever they part ways at one point or whatever. She's quiet. She's eager to please. She's ditzy. All those little things.
And she was a nun.
Former nun, yes.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting, although being the quiet one, and what you just said, she's the one, though, that she's kind of the glue?
In a way, I would think.
That brings everybody back?
In a little way, I think.
Yeah. Anything similar to you, besides you've talked about being quiet, but are there other things that remind you of you in her character?
I think just the quiet part.
Yeah.
I don't know about being the former nun, but the quiet part, yeah.
There's a piece we might not know about. But when I think of you, though, too, Candace, there's that part of – and Lana spoke to it while we were on break. You talked about her being very quiet, but there's that organized part that pulls everything together. Mm-hmm. You know, that you've noticed, you said, with
right.
Candace.
She's like a voice of reason, like this calm, you know, we can do this, we can do that. You know, maybe the rest of us are frazzled or we're stuck on some picayune issue, and she's kind of like in the background in a quiet way. She'll say something and it's like, yeah, you know, it can depend on Candace.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Who are the other... Can you speak to the other characters that are in this piece?
Yeah, sure. So there's Bernadette Sims, right? That's her last
name.
Yes. She is sort of the hard luck lady. Everything bad has happened to her in her life, and it just seems to get worse throughout the course of the play.
Who's playing Bernadette?
Eileen.
Okay.
Is playing her and doing a really terrific job. I mean, she's this like loud, brassy, funny, wisecracking character, and I mean, to a T. Dinah. What's Dinah's last name?
Lauren.
I don't remember. I don't remember her.
Dinah Grayson.
Yeah, it's played by Lauren, and she's sort of a lawyer, hard drinking, very serious about her martinis.
Wait, who's playing her?
Lauren.
Okay, all right.
Mm-hmm. And sort of a wise, she's a wisecracker too, but she's got her stuff together in a way that Bernadette does not. Always at the bar, always eager to grab a martini when she has a chance, but also secretly like really lovely and good-hearted as well. She's got this like sensitive side that's revealed as the play goes on. And then Cherie is played by Tammy Lamonti, who is that she was the team captain and
of the swim team.
And now sort of organizes everybody else's all these weekends. She organizes them and makes sure that everybody gets there. She's a health food nut and has sort of a perfect life. Lexi comments on how perfect her life is, and she never has any problems. And so these five women clash and have fun together.
Do you have a favorite line in the show that you've had to learn that the character says?
Ooh.
or a portion of the show that, oh, I really like that piece when I speak to this or when this is.
You know, there's a scene that I like, and it's coming together, and we're fighting.
The whole group is fighting?
Yeah, we fight. We fight, and because, you know, I think if you look at real life and true friendships, they're not going to always be perfect.
Yeah.
So you have a group of five women. You're bringing five different personalities to the table, and we're all on the same accord as far as being fond of each other and caring about each other. But there's just that reality that there are just times we're going to clash, and we get into it. And at the end, we all just come back together because we realize, okay, we had to do that, but we still love each other.
Yeah.
So that's probably my favorite scene because I think we're allowed to just get out of character and just really have fun with it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
How about you, Candace? Is there a piece to the play that you really enjoy? The beginning. What's the – tell us – can we talk about the beginning? Will that spoil anything?
I would just say that the beginning there, like I said, everybody expects me to be this quiet and not expecting certain things, and something happened, and then it just kind of blew up everybody's mind. So I just kind of went out of character for a little while. And at the end, it kind of just all came together. So
yeah,
but that's my favorite. It's the beginning.
It's been enjoyable. It sounds like for you to watch that process your character went through.
Yes,
you know, in this story, have there been things that the two of you have noticed with the other women that are in this? You know, that really stand out for you? Like, gosh, that was really powerful when I know when Tammy had to go through that part or learn that part, or when Aileen had to. Anything stand out for you about what the other gals have had to do? Or Cody, that's for you too.
Aileen as Bernadette has a monologue that is sort of like this incredible Southern rebel yell of a monologue that she has. And it's in the second act. It's in the third scene, right? In the second act. That is, she took to it immediately. And it's, I feel like it's going to get exit applause when she leaves after it's done. It's fun and big and it's hilarious and she does it beautiful. I like watching her do that. It's a good moment for her.
What has been the process for the two of you to learn your lines? I mean, it's the first time you've had to do this. How have you learned your lines?
I thought I would never get it.
Yeah.
I always wondered how actresses and actors learn their lines. And I think what got it for me is actually acting it out. Whenever we would just read it, I would get it, but then it worked better whenever I acted it out. I could remember more, and it made me laugh. Like I said, at first I was kind of like, I'm not too sure about this, but then after we start acting it out,
once
I love
that
it. I fell in love with
that physical interaction, huh?
Exactly.
Interesting. How about you, Lana?
I agree with Candace. I think for me it comes together when we can act it out, feed it to each other. For me, I kind of did attack it academically.
Yeah, yeah.
Like learning some notes.
Sure.
So that's kind of how I hope to be able to get my lines all together.
Yeah.
That way.
It's individual, isn't it? I mean, for each person. Yeah. I mean, there is a process that works, but it's pretty individual.
And I find that it changes over time because I'm learning lines when I was in my 20s was super easy to do. I would just read the script a couple times and there it would be in my head. And it's a lot harder as you go. If I find connecting it to where you're moving, that for me, that works a lot. That's what helps me now. I need to know where I'm going and what I'm doing. I need to walk around a room and do my lines as I'm walking. And then that helps me keep them.
Yeah. So let's talk about the physical space, because you start rehearsing in just a space, you know, and it might be on a stage, but it's still an open space. And then little by little, that set gets put together, which you all have been able to be a part of that now. Did that throw anybody off, or did that all of a sudden produce a new dynamic that you weren't really ready for? Or did it add to making it an easier experience?
Yeah, I think it kind of completed everything, because we kind of, like I said, it helped us to understand, like, seeing a certain part and know what we have to go, what we have to do. It helped out a lot, having the set there.
It made it real.
Exactly. It made it real.
Yeah.
Once I saw the set, and that was it.
This is it. I'm in it.
Yep.
How about for you? Anything?
For me, the set is beautiful. I mean, when I walked in a couple of rehearsals ago, I was like, oh, my. I don't know if I had a notion of what it would look like, but in the beginning, we started at a table full of food with snacks and martinis. And so we have gravitated far away from where we started. And I had a little bit of intimidation when I saw the set. And I had to feel it. And I remember Cody saying, we need to walk around. We need to see what it is. And that made sense after you felt the space.
Yeah.
Then your lines kind of – because – when I first got on the set, my lines went completely away. And then it was okay.
Yeah. And then that piece becomes – that set becomes the familiar place again.
Right.
That's interesting. And as a director, Cody, what does a director do to help through that process? Or is it just toss them in there? Is that discussed at all?
No, well, I tried with blocking to try to draw pictures and be very clear about these are the things that you'll be – that will be around you. And this – our set has two levels. There's a – so you step down into kind of a sunken living room area.
Okay.
And I always try to keep that in their head. You're at a higher place here. This is a higher place. You will step down into this place. You will then come down into the – so that as they're moving around on a flat surface, I mean, we did some of this on the lobby, in the lobby at the Delta. We blocked the first two scenes in the lobby, which is much smaller and nothing like what the space is like. And you just try to remind them all the time of what will be there and what the physical space will look like. But I don't think there's any way to prepare an actor to go from rehearsal room to the set.
Yeah.
You just have to get up there and then do it. Because really, the way that we've worked, we don't get models or things. So we've only planned out what the set will look like. We don't really know. I don't even know what it looks like until it's up. And you go, oh, thank goodness, that actually works. Thank God.
Yeah. I think that's the thing that a lot of times people don't realize about theater is the short period of time and the quickness that a show moves in and becomes the show. You know?
Yeah.
That it's not a process where people have 6 weeks to rehearse on the actual built set. You know?
There was another show that rehearsed and opened in the time that we've been rehearsing this show. We did Peter Pan. The kids play Peter Pan. That happened 2 weeks prior to the – it closed 2 weeks prior to the opening of this show. So that – there was no way for us to rehearse on the set or even on the stage. We had to rehearse the show mostly either on the floor of the Delta or in the lobby or elsewhere. Because there was a set, another show's set.
Yeah, was theater, Lana? Did it come into your life at all before your kids' involvement?
And no, I really can't say that it.
Like you as a kid, or
I never was involved in drama. But what I would do is go to New York and we'd catch shows. My sister is involved in music, so that was my introduction. And I can remember going to Fiddler on the Roof during its 15th year or the last year it played.
Yeah.
And that was – after that, I had the bug. I got caught.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, yeah.
She – what does she do with music?
She is a music major, and she has a degree in music therapy. And
very nice.
She went into education, and now she teaches elementary children music. So
very cool.
There was a lot of music and that going on in my household.
Yeah. So. When you were a kid growing up.
Yes.
Okay. Very nice. And Candace, in your life, did theater enter before this or other art forms? Have you been involved in the arts?
Not at all.
And that's not true. This woman, I forgot to mention, what she also is very good at is she's an incredible, I mean, and that's an art. She's an incredible, I don't even know if cake decorating is the term that's used, but you're like those people that you see on TV. I mean, I'm serious, that have those shows. And that's an artistic talent for you. Do you see it that way at all? What you do with those?
I guess in a way.
Yeah.
That's just kind of me just seeing it and always interested in it. And I just tried it out and just did it.
I mean, I think of it in terms of painting that cake, that blank cake is your canvas. And then all of a sudden it becomes this really cool, like, children's movie scene or becomes a piece of clothing or, you know. I mean, that's a really neat artistic piece that you have to you in your life. When you were a kid growing up, were you around music or painting or anything like that?
No, I come from like my mom and my grandmother. They're all quiet. Yeah. So like I come from this a quiet family. Like everybody's is so shocked that I'm actually doing this and I'm going to go ahead and actually do it. They're going to be sitting there in the crowd on Thursday.
What have they said to you?
Just, are you sure your nerves can handle? And I'm like, I guess so.
Yeah.
But, yeah, everybody's just quiet.
Yeah.
Huh. I've always been, and Mama, she's like, once you get older, you're going to come out of that comfort zone. Because she's like, as she grew up and everything, she was quiet. But now, like, I walk in
the store.
Yeah,
she's pretty extroverted.
Yeah. And she's like, hey, girl. I'm like, oh, gosh. So I think eventually I'm going to get out of that stage. But now I'm just, like, quiet and laid back. And, yeah.
But it's interesting for you, though, I think, to continue to pay attention. I mean, I don't always like to give, you know, advice or whatever it is. But I think you should pay attention to that artistic side of you because it's real. It's really in there. And it's in what you're doing now in theater. But, boy, is it in there with what you do with those cakes. I mean, that's an art form, you know. It's in there. It looks like you're thinking of...
Well, I was just thinking, like, I think everybody is creative.
Yeah.
Everyone's got art in them. Mm-hmm. It's just about finding a moment to have an encounter with an art form that you really vibe with and you go for it. But everybody creates and everybody can make something. I think some people are just afraid to or feel like they can't or shouldn't. But I think everyone is capable of doing it.
Yeah.
Everyone is capable of making art of some kind.
Yeah. And it's interesting when you talk with people and find out things that they did do as a kid. It's like, man, I knew that was there somewhere. I mean, you know, you find that with a lot of people that as an adult, you know, whether they just have to give themselves permission or recognize that, oh, yeah, I did used to do a lot of that. Would you do it again?
Act? Yes. I would. I have thoroughly enjoyed myself, and it has been a blessing in other ways that I think they can relate to. They kind of know that it has been something that has given me hope.
Yeah.
And it's just been enjoyable. So, yes. Whether somebody would choose me, I don't know, but yes.
But you would go and do an audition. When you have been going through this process, are there different characters that you think of from movies or other theater productions that, boy, would that be a riot to do that?
Yes. I cannot watch TV. I had this conversation with Cody earlier. You watch TV with a different eye.
Huh?
And you go to a production with a different eye and a different appreciation. So it is life-changing, but for the better.
Yeah.
And it really makes you appreciate it. And all the things that you were taught, it's like I'm seeing it. I'm experiencing it.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Candace, you were nodding your head. That's happened for you now watching something on TV or?
Definitely.
What are you paying attention to? What's
just
popping out?
Just seeing a certain person do something. I'm like, I can probably do that. I'll probably pass out, but I can do it.
But I'll get there eventually.
But it would be fun. Like, I just think that I'm just, like she said, a learning experience. I never thought I would actually do this, and I'm enjoying it. And I would, I'm not saying I would audition for it unless somebody would, like, push me, but I would definitely do it again if I was asked.
Yeah, it was a good experience for you. It has been. What are you anticipating now when you go? I don't know if the term is it like going live? It's not really going live, but you know when the show actually opens. What are you anticipating? What are you? Do you have expectations? Do you have?
I expect us to have fun.
Yeah.
I think. I can't speak for anybody else, but yes, there's a certain amount of anxiety and a little nervousness, but I think we are going to pull it together and we're just going to have fun.
Yeah.
And we're just going to enjoy it and not look at it as something to do, to get over. No, this is something we've been working on and we enjoy it. We put our hearts in it and we're going to laugh about it.
Very cool. Candace?
Same thing. I'm just... Yes, experience.
yeah. Another thing, talk it off in life, huh? That's very cool. I want to remind people that the Dixie Swim Club that's being put on by the Delta Grand Theater in Opelousas opens this Thursday and runs Thursday, Friday, Saturday, 7:30 p.m. And this week there's a Sunday matinee at 2 and then continues next weekend. But it's just the Thursday, Friday, and Saturday show opening at 7:30. And you can contact the Delta Grand at 407-1806, or you just get on the web and search for Delta Grand Theater. Go to deltagrandtheater.com, and all the information will be there that you need to know. And they also have some other productions coming up, Cody, which you have one involved
there. Yes, we in 4 weeks, we open Hamlet.
And are you in it or directing?
I am King Claudius. I'm directing. Kara Hayden is also helping to direct the show, too. So we're going to do Hamlet.
Who else is in that production?
A lot of folks from around here. John Snyder is playing Hamlet. We have some folks from Acadia.
I like John. I don't think you always get to see John enough.
No, and he's been wanting to do Hamlet for ages. And so this was – we talked about this last summer that we'd do this. So, yeah, a bunch of folks from Acadia and a rep and folks who are out in Opelousas who have done some shows. It's a really good cast. And, we'll do some Hamlet.
And when does that open?
We open August 29th, I believe.
Okay. Yeah. And then we're losing you to the state of Connecticut,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah.
But you'll be back.
I should be.
All right. So you can find out about Hamlet, too, on the Delta Grand Theater website. You guys, thanks so much for coming on today. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having us.
It's going to be a cool show. I'm really looking forward to seeing it. It's a great storyline. So everybody get out to the Delta Grand this Thursday for the Dixie Swim Club. My guests have been Lana Matoya, Candace Miles, and Cody Daigle, who's directing the production. We'll go out with Sheryl Crow. Every day is a winding road. Have a good week.
Sitting in the kitchen, the house of Macon, Loretta singing on the radio. Smell of coffee, eggs and bacon, car wheels on a gravel road. Pull the curtains back and look outside. Somebody somewhere don't know. Come on now, child, we're gonna go for a ride. Car wheels on a gravel road.
Dirty Rice on the air every Saturday evening from 8:30 to 10 p.m. Join either Mr. Lee Klein, Peter, or myself, Bill Bolins, for a program of great Louisiana music. That's Dirty Rice, Saturday nights, 8:30 to 10, with a rebroadcast at noon on Wednesday, right here on KRVS 88.7 FM and on the internet at krvs.org.
Hello, this is John Green, host of Night Train Jazz, inviting you to tune in every Tuesday from 8 to 10 for 2 hours of the very latest recorded jazz, as well as a sprinkling of oldies but goodies. That's Night Train, Tuesdays from 8 to 10 here on KRVS 88.7 FM in Lafayette and Lake Charles.